This podcast is from Allegro Non Troppo on Joy Melbourne 94.9 radio station, Melbourne, Australia, and is produced for you by Adam, Peter and Robert.
You're listening to Allegro Non Troppo, presented by Adam Stobbs
and Peter Forty,
across Australia on the Community Radio Network, produced at radio station 3JOY, Melbourne, Victoria, Australia's longest, only gay and lesbian radio station on air since 1993. Today we've got a very special show for you. We're going to be talking to Jay and Kathy Munro. Gay and lesbian people have the coming out experience. Transsexual people have a more difficult journey of self-realisation. However, the journey comes to a resolution eventually, and although there are always fresh challenges when you get there. This story is not about that. It's about the other people, the ones who are also affected deeply when someone they love is going through transition. Even though they are the same person, something is fundamentally different. How do you cope? What do you do? This is about Jane and Kathy. I've known Jane for 6 years as one of the people I hold in the highest regard and respect. Accepting myself as homosexual, it was easy for me. It's not easy for a lot of people. Accepting a gender transition is probably a lot more complex, and even more complex for the people around them. Jane is a co-presenter on Transmission Time on Joy 94.9. If you go to the Allegro webpage and link on today's show, you'll see a link to the Transition Time blog and webpage. And I'd like to say a very special Allegro welcome to Jane and Kathy. Hello, Jane.
Hey, Adam.
And Kathy.
Hello, Adam.
Thank you both for coming in on Allegro Non Troppo today. This means a lot to me having you both here, especially Jane. I've known you for so long.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when you first came to our station so many years ago. You're one of our technical operators.
Yes,
now.
I am, yes.
You keep the station going.
Well, try to anyway.
Thank you. And Kathy, you're Jane's wife.
Yes.
Now, this is a really difficult situation for our listener out in the community who's not aware of trans issues to go through. So perhaps we might have a bit of a chit-chat to Jane first and just put this into context and qualify the situation. Now, Jane, you were male.
Yes.
But you're not now.
Yeah, that's right. My birth certificate says that I am male, but that's not the way I feel.
Okay. When did you realise that you weren't male? What happened? Tell us a bit about the story.
There was something different. I suppose I realised probably about the age of 9 or 10. When I was growing up, there was just something that was a little bit different, and I found some female clothes and thought, oh, yes, I'm going to try these. And something sort of clicked. It's very hard to describe the words to put in, and looking at the context of when this occurred, which was sort of back in the mid-50s, I think I was a very naive person because I didn't have the words to explain how I feel or how I felt. I suppose at that period of time, information was very, very scarce. You had your family or the public library to go to. The internet wasn't around, and you didn't have the I suppose you had to know what the question was to try and find an answer. I didn't know what the question was. I just knew I felt a little bit different. I felt a little bit more relaxed when I was wearing sort of female clothes, and like a lot of people of my generation, we had our little stash hidden away somewhere, and we kept everything extremely secret, and because there was a stigma about cross-dressing, I suppose would be the way to put it, and this feeling stayed with me for many, many years. It was kept very secret. Just after I met Kathy and before we got married, I burnt everything. So basically, it's all gone away. Love will conquer, and I won't have to do this again.
Yeah, a lot of people think that getting married is going to change everything.
They do, yes. You know? I suppose it's sort of like a maybe a substitute in some way.
Mm.
That you think that that what you're missing is love. Now, with Kathy, I've been very fortunate that she's has come to terms with the way that I feel internally, and it's And it's, I suppose it's made it a lot easier for me over the years.
Because when I was very young, first realising the possibility I might be gay, I went through a time where I thought I was the only one.
Yes,
so
exactly.
For you, it must have been doubly so.
Yes, and because at that time everything was extremely secret. Yes, you think, oh, I'm the only person in the world that feels like this. So it tends to alter the way that you live your life. I suppose I tried to bury myself in doing other things. I got heavily involved in electronics, photography, and I can remember in my mid-teens, I took some photographs of myself and a photograph of a girl who lived up the street, and I can remember cutting the negatives in half and printing them with the with my head and her body.
Yeah.
I suppose it didn't come out very well, but
Jane, can I ask you a couple of questions about this so we can put it into context?
Yes.
So when you were growing up, what did you do? You actually used to just dress up in women's clothing.
Yes.
Where?
At home.
Just at home?
And, of course, only when my parents were out.
Okay.
Yeah. As far as I know, they never knew.
Right. And you were living part-time as a woman?
Well, it'd be sort of like an hour here and an hour there, okay. Basically. I can remember doing some of my... some of my school studying, because my parents worked, dressed as a female.
So when you did dress up as a female, how did you feel as soon as you put those clothes on?
Probably very scared, because you're always worried about that somebody is going to come in and catch you. So you were very wary of those sort of things. And there was a few close shaves, I must admit. But personally, I felt... just a little bit more relaxed.
Did you? I was wondering if you had any strong feelings of being who you really wanted to be, or was it more subtle than that?
I think it's a lot more subtle than that. I don't remember any sort of overwhelming thought at that time, because the main thing I thought was, this is wrong. I shouldn't be doing it.
Jane, it's not about the clothes, is it?
No.
The clothes just are the catalyst.
Yes.
They precipitate what
yes,
it's really
about.
What is it?
It's a feeling inside that that I'm more comfortable living life as a female rather than as a male.
Did this lead you to any feelings of despair at all when you were growing up?
Oh, yes. depression.
Yep.
Isolation, because I had no one to talk to about it.
What made you depressed? What went through your mind about the... Well, I don't want to call it a condition, but it sounds like a condition. You had this particular thing going on in your head. Mm-hmm. How did you actually really feel at that time?
Ooh, it's going back a long time now.
Because we'll have people out there listening to this who will be feeling the same, and I just want them to learn from your experience.
It's very hard to explain the way that you feel. A lot of it is about sort of being more comfortable with who you are.
Okay.
I think that's probably the main thing that, and in later life, with Kat's help, I think I've become a much more relaxed person.
I think so too. I've known you for a few years, and I have to say that you're a lot more relaxed, and you seem a lot more together. When in the last few years, let's say the last 10 years or so, have you been living part-time female?
Yes. When I was working, of course, I had to be in a male role. The organisation that I worked for, I don't think, would have taken too kindly to me transitioning at work. And it probably wasn't an option anyway with family. But I've gone through periods of depression. And I was thinking about this the other day, and you can be sad about something, but when you're sad about something, you know what it is. When you have depression, you don't necessarily know what causes it.
Okay.
And I think there's a big difference there, and it's very important to try and work out why you're depressed. And for many years, I didn't know.
Now that, are you full-time now?
Yes.
So you're a full-time woman now?
Yes, and... Okay. And
congratulations.
Thank you.
Because it's something that you've had to work towards.
Yes.
And I can't even begin to think what it must be like for you. I have some idea, but the magnitude of how this must impact on you must be huge.
Oh, it does. And one of the things that you, from a safety point of view, I try and pass the best that I can, because I feel that If you're passing reasonably well, you don't get the looks and the stares and those sort of things, especially from the teenage people. I suppose being older, it makes that a lot easier because being an older woman, the teenagers don't give, or the guys...
You're invisible.
Yeah, they don't give you a second glance.
Can I just ask you one last question before we introduce Kathy into this topic? Mm-hmm. So you're born male.
Yes.
Are you going to have reassignment surgery?
That's on the plans.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because you're
a bit older.
Yes.
If you don't mind me saying.
Yes, I am.
So you're a bit older. Yeah, so this is a bit late in life to be doing this gender reassignment. Is it important?
In a lot of ways, yes, because it's really affirming the way that I feel.
Okay. And when you get that affirmation, that'll empower you to have a better life.
Yes, I think
well,
so.
Well, I think that's a great idea, and I hope that it all works out. Would you like to introduce Kathy, Jane?
Okay. Kathy's been my sort of life partner since my mid-20s, I suppose. We met at a party, and in fact, she sort of introduced herself to me because I was very lonely at that period of time, and girls, I don't know if I should really get involved with girls, but she came over and she introduced herself and something clicked, and we've been together now for well over 30 years.
Kathy, welcome to Allegro Non Troppo.
Thank you, Adam.
And thank you for coming in to talk to us, because I think probably the crux of this what we're doing today is really I want to hear your story. We've put it into context by finding out a little bit about Jane. Can you tell us when... You wouldn't have met Jane as Jane.
No.
Okay. Jane had a male name. When you... I don't know whether it's appropriate for us to use that name. You can tell
no.
us. No, it's not.
No.
Okay. So when you met Jane, we'll say
yes.
when... Okay. And as a male. And did you know about any of this?
No idea at all.
No idea.
Absolutely no idea.
Was there anything different about him when you met him?
More sensitive, I think.
Mm-hmm.
More in touch with my feelings.
Yeah.
I don't think Jane was in touch with her feelings.
But she was in
touch
with yours.
At that stage. But more, I just felt that she was more sensitive.
But it was just, while we're saying she, at this particular point, Jael was male.
Yes,
Jane
yes
was
it's
male.
A very difficult concept.
Yep, so that's why.
Well, maybe, would you prefer me to say he when for the early days?
Yep, that's okay. I'd
All
like
right.
to, because that puts it in context for the listener. So
yes.
when you met him,
yes,
right, you got together for a while, and then you got married.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
We went together probably for about a year before we got married.
Okay. What was that like?
Oh, it was great.
Yeah?
It was a really nice time. It was lovely.
Okay, and you live together here in Melbourne. Do you have any children?
Yes, two.
Okay, so you have two, you're married with two children, and you married this man. And then when did things change? When did you first get an inkling that there may be something not as it had seemed?
I had no inkling whatsoever. No idea. He told me that he wanted to cross-dress, and I had didn't even know that cross-dressing existed. I must have been very naive, I think. But he mentioned that he would really feel more comfortable. So I thought, oh, well, okay, if this is what he needs to do, then that's fine. There were two worries that I had. One was, are you gay and do you want to transition?
That's quite a common misconception,
it
isn't
is,
it?
It is, and I had those misconceptions
yes.
because I didn't know
anything
about
it. Can we bring Jane back in on the conversation at this point, Jane? So that's what was going through Kathy's mind. Are you gay and do you want to transition? The second question's been answered. You are going to
yes,
transition.
Yes, but at that time I had no idea that that's the way my life was going to go.
Okay, and the other question she had is, are you gay?
Well, I at the time I said no, and I suppose I believe that, but now that I'm sort of the way that I'm feeling, I suppose I am.
When you first met Cathy, did you have any feelings that perhaps you should mention it to her, or was
no,
it too difficult a thing?
None at all, because basically... I suppose I started to think that in meeting Kathy and when we really started to get serious, that that all this would go away, which is why all the clothes were burnt and disposed of, the makeup thrown away, and yes, it's all in the past.
So what I'm wondering, if I could just stick with you just for one more question. When you did get married and you first realised that this wasn't going to go away, how did you handle that?
I suppose sort of the feeling sort of started to come back that I need to do this again, and that's when Kath and I sort of had this little first conversation about it, and then when Kath started to ask the questions.
Can we look at that in context in a minute? I just wanted to follow up one other question that I was asking you before. So when you were male and married to Kathy, mm-hmm. you regarded yourself as heterosexual.
Yes.
Now that you're female, still married to Kathy, do you regard yourself as lesbian?
Yes.
Okay, so that's put... So you're homosexual in as much that your transition has now put two people of the same gender, or outwardly as the same
yes,
gender together.
But my sexual preference hasn't changed.
Okay.
But just now the situation, the way that I view myself, mm-hmm. then I've gone from being heterosexual to lesbian.
Now, I know quite a lot of male-to-female transsexuals, and... That's the case for most of the ones that I know.
According to one of the doctors I'm seeing, he says that about a third end up in a lesbian relationship, about a third end up in a heterosexual relationship, and about a third end up in a non-sexual relationship.
Okay. Mm. Kathy and Jane, that moment, Jane, when you said... came into your mind that you have to tell Kathy. Mm-hmm. Had you started putting clothes on again
no.
in secret?
No.
No, you hadn't.
Never.
Never.
Mm.
And I think that is an important point.
Yes.
Because he was always very open and honest with me and never went behind my back. And I think that in a marriage there must be trust.
That's amazing. Actually, can I just say that? I'm really impressed and inspired by that fact of the open and the honesty and the amount of respect you have for your partner.
Kathy, now when you first discovered, in the time after you discovered that Jane was a cross-dresser, that put you in a position that you weren't counting on in as much as being married to a woman. How did that affect you?
I think that what was most important to me was that he be happy, and that if he was happy, I would be happy. I had been through a lot of the times with him that when he was very depressed, and that of course made me very unhappy. I hated those periods of depression, and I never want to go through them again. So if cross-dressing was going to make him happier or happy, then I was okay with that.
You're a remarkable person, Kathy.
Oh, thank you.
Can I just ask you about that first conversation, first time that Jane came to you and told you about that he was doing cross-dressing? Could you replay part of that conversation? Tell us what it was like. How did he do it? Where were you?
It was a long time ago. we were in the bedroom because that's a private area where we could have discussions. I'm not sure where the children were, but they weren't around, so we didn't have to worry about where they were.
What did he say to you? How did he start the conversation? Do you remember, Jane?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No. It was a long time ago now.
I think that he may have given me an article to read.
Yeah.
And that sort of opened the conversation up, because we discussed the article and I think it went on from there.
So you did it on a sort of like an intellectual basis that wasn't a very emotive sort of, like, you weren't horrified, you didn't... Your reaction, initial reaction when he told you, what was that?
I wasn't horrified. That's a difficult one for me to answer.
Okay. Because it was a while ago?
A long time ago.
Okay.
Yes. But I think that our relationship was so strong. We that it was easier for me to accept because I wanted to keep that relationship. And what worried me the most was that our relationship was going to break up.
You know, one of the things I've discovered about relationships, if you really love somebody, really love them, you can put up with just about anything and you'll forgive them of anything. So that qualifies that. So the coming out actual conversation happened. What about the first time that you saw Jane dressed up? What was that like?
Oh, God, that was a long time ago, too. A very long time ago.
Well, perhaps if
I think that probably what was needed was to get some nice clothes. He started cross-dressing, buying clothes from the op shop. And I think it was better once he started buying clothes that suited him in the female role that were more attractive and more up to date.
Where did you dress up? Just at home?
Yes, initially, yes. I also joined the Seahorse Club of Victoria and started going to their monthly meetings. And from that, I ended up getting involved with Channel 31. I was with Bent TV at the time, and they wanted people to work in at 31 in the to give the basically put programs to air. And I volunteered for a 13-week stint. One season, and end up staying 8.5 years.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Cathy, we've just heard Jane say that she got support from other groups. What about you? Did you feel the need to talk about your situation with a group of people?
Yes, and I went along to Seahorse as well, and I got support there, but there weren't any areas of support for partners. Seahorse was very happy to have partners go along, and it was really useful to talk to. There were some other wives there who went along, and that was really useful. But no other form of support, and that's even now that Jane has transitioned, there are no forms of support for partners.
You're listening to Allegro Non Troppo here on Joy 94.9 across Australia on the Community Radio Network with Adam and Peter. Our special guests today are Jane and Cathy Munro. Jane is a transsexual, Cathy is Jane's wife, and we're talking about their life story.
You're listening to Allegro Non Troppo across Australia on the Community Radio Network.
Cathy and Jane, I want to, we've gone through the issues about the transition process and the continuing transition process now that Jane's facing surgery, but I wanted to go back and look at your lives when you'd come to terms with the fact that Jane was going to be a cross-dresser and a transsexual. You would have then had to have had the public outing the first time you went out dressed. In the clothes of the other gender. I'd like to hear from both of you, please, your experiences, what it was like. Jane, tell us about it.
Okay. The first place that we went, it was at night, naturally, but we probably picked a very inappropriate place. We went to the theatre at Northland to see a film, and I can remember having a long blonde wig on, which was probably inappropriate. The clothes were probably appropriate. I can remember Cathy going up and buying the ticket because I was too scared to. I was extremely nervous, to say the least. And
what did you think might happen? Why were you nervous?
Being outed, people making comments, and just standing out.
Does that happen?
It does occasionally. I suppose being older, I tend to go under the radar of a lot of people.
Okay.
But I've had comments from people driving around in cars. That's been, I think, the main issue. A lot of people won't come out and sort of and abuse you sort of face to face. I've heard of many stories where that does happen, but it's always groups. It's never single people.
And has it ever happened to you?
No, fortunately. Okay. I think because of my age, people say, oh, yes, female, old. Yeah.
Okay. So you went to Northland.
Yes.
To the movies.
Yes.
And you had a long blonde wig on and you had female clothes on. How did you feel about this, Kathy?
Sitting beside Jane, I sort of looked at people to see whether they were looking.
Were they?
Sometimes. Probably they weren't really taking much notice at all, but I thought they were.
Yep,
mainly because I was worried that they would be.
You probably felt as though they're looking at me, they're looking at me, and some of them were, but most of them probably weren't. How long ago was this? Sorry, Peter.
This was back in the either late 80s or early 90s.
Okay.
Yeah, I think whenever you change your appearance, even with a guy, say, changes his hairstyle or the colour of his hair, you're conscious of whether people are taking any notice. But probably most of the time they're in their own world. They're not even thinking about what you look like.
Mm. So it happens that you go out and you've got this. You feel as though people are looking at you because you feel different. You wonder, do people see me as being different?
Mm.
And they probably do, but most people are in metropolitan communities. Most people are used to diversity, and over the years it's become a lot more accepting, and people are not as bad about it now.
A couple of years ago, I did a short camping trip, and a lot of it was spent in the country. I didn't get any queries. In fact, I can remember going to a petrol station and before I changed my name, and the guy swiped the card, and it's all gone through, and he's looking at why he's waiting for the response, and he said, I think I've swiped the wrong card. He didn't notice.
Oh, really?
And I went to caravan parks because it's a cheap way to travel. No queries. Always given the codes or the keys to the female toilets.
Well, I inadvertently once caused some embarrassment because I work at the TAB occasionally, and this woman came up to the window and wanted to deposit some money into her account, and you always check the front to make sure, you know, because sometimes wives will try and access the husband's account, and it had Mr. so-and-so on it. And I said, is this your account? And she said, yes. And I said, but it says Mr. here. And she said, I know. She said, and it triggered, and I felt really embarrassed because I'd caused her embarrassment.
Did you apologise?
I said, oh, I'm sorry. But she understood, I mean, because it wasn't obvious.
Okay.
Very convincing.
I think most transsexual people probably have that experience at some stage.
Yes, you do.
And it's part of the process.
That's right, yeah.
And, yes.
It's a lot easier once you change all your documentation.
Okay. Yeah. Have you ever actually been really abused?
No.
No, never?
But I have a very young friend up in Sydney. She'd be in her sort of late 20s, and she's been spat at, abused. Fortunately, she hasn't been bashed up yet.
Okay. Now, you have two children.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be the really interesting part of the second half of our conversation. Tell us about your children, or what you feel like telling us about them, and how they handled it, and do they know?
Oh, yes, they know.
Okay. Kathy, what happened?
Well, it's probably you need to put it in two stages.
Mm-hmm.
They found out about the cross-dressing. And our son was 17, which was not a good age, and our daughter was 3 years younger. Our daughter said, what am I going to tell my friends?
Did you tell them? You went out and told them before they found out from...
They asked.
Did they?
They had got some idea that something was wrong because Mum wasn't going out with Dad on a Saturday night. Dad was going on his own.
Okay.
Of course, he was going to Seahorse.
Yeah.
And I needed to be home with the kids for that evening. It was a couple of Saturdays, I think, 1 month, and then the next month that it happened. So they wanted to know what was going on. I think they were worried about divorce.
Did you tell both together or one at a time?
I can't remember. Can you?
I wasn't there.
Okay. Tell us about the conversation.
Our son was very angry, very upset about it.
How old was he at this?
He was 17. Mm-hmm. He wasn't able to accept. He didn't want to know about it. He accepted that it was going to happen, but he didn't want to know about it, didn't want to hear about it, didn't want to see it, didn't want to have anything to do with it. Whereas our daughter was more accepting. So long as she decided she wasn't going to tell her friends, so she was going to keep it secret, after that was fine. She didn't want to go out with Dad dressed.
And how is your son about it now?
Today? Exactly the same. Mm. Now that Jane has transitioned, he's still exactly the same. Our daughter is... she's not as accepting now.
Okay.
And that's probably her brother's influence, I think.
How do you two feel about this?
Very upset.
Yes.
Because it's sort of a large part of our life that sort of, well, I suppose at the moment it's basically come to an end.
Okay.
And because you spend many years bringing up children, educating them, hoping you've put them in down the right path of life, and then all of a sudden they basically disappear from your life.
I'm very sorry to hear that. I hope that it changes. So you don't see them very often then?
I haven't seen either of them since I started my transition.
Oh, goodness. So that's quite a long time, isn't it? Mm. Can I just say that I respect and admire the courage that it must take for you to go through the transition, but sometimes there's a price to pay, and it
there
looks
is,
as though
yes.
this has been the price that you have to pay.
Our daughter accepts me, and she's quite happy for me to go around there and for me to be involved, but she won't come out to our place. And that's very hurtful.
Let's hope that this changes. Let's hope that they become more enlightened and they can see past the things they don't like to see the things inside you that they love. You're listening to Adam and Peter here on Allegro Non Troppo with Kathy and Jane. This is Allegro Non Troppo across Australia via satellite on the Community Radio Network with Adam and Peter. Our guests today are Jane and Kathy. We've been talking about Jane's transition as a male to female transsexual and their lives together. And we've just been talking about the fact that the price that they've had to pay for this is that their children have more or less not abandoned, but they don't really have a lot to do with you now. Do you think there's any chance of a reconciliation, Jane?
I'd like to think so. I've heard some stories where it can take sort of 10, 12 years for the children, or in some cases the parents.
Of course, there are no guarantees, are there?
No, they're not.
Sadly.
I mean, you're their father.
Yes.
But now you're a woman.
But I will always be their father.
Yes.
That's saying that you can't change. And I suppose, you know, one of the things that when you do transition, you know, you know there are certain things you can't change.
Yes.
And history is one of them.
Yes, that's exactly right. Thank you for sharing that. Is there any chance they could have any counselling or anything that might help? They're not interested?
They're not interested. They don't want to know about it. They don't want to get any counselling. They don't want to learn anything about it, and that's the problem, I think.
To other people who are listening on the network who perhaps are going to considering all this is happening to in their lives, I think we do all recognise that if you do transition, there will be consequences, and the best thing you can do is think about it and plan ahead.
Yes.
But, as we've heard from Jane, the actual process of transition is a very empowering thing.
Yes, it is.
So at some stage you have to make the choice between when does your obligation to yourself outweigh the obligation to the people around you. That is a terribly difficult choice to make, but a choice you have to make.
And there are a number of people involved, aren't there? I mean, you were fortunate that you had a wife who was so accepting.
Yes.
Unfortunately, that didn't flow through to your children.
But it my family has been very accepting too.
Have they?
Yes, extremely.
What about your family, Jane?
Both my parents died in the early 90s, so there's very few members on my side of the family that we've actually sort of kept in touch with over the years.
What about the people on the periphery of your life, the ones that are sort of not immediately associated with, but people that you know on the periphery who you haven't seen, do they know?
Some do. I've sent out a number of letters to family members, to friends, and the responses have actually been quite varied. Everybody who has responded has been supportive, but I found that the times from sending the letter out to when they respond could be anywhere from basically a few minutes to weeks and sometimes months. which I found very odd. You know, I thought, you know, people would respond sort of fairly quickly, sort of yay or nay. But there was one case where I sent out an email to a friend who I've known for well over 30 years, and he was around basically knocking on the door within 10 minutes.
Really? Oh, my goodness gracious. We've just had quite a few requests from people asking who've missed this first part of this interview. If you'd like to hear this interview in its entirety, it'll be available on the Allegro website, allegro.org.au, in the podcast. But I'd just like to let you know, I'm actually a month behind with the podcasts. It's just such a huge job to edit this for the Community Radio Network and for podcasting. It takes me about 16 hours of editing a week. So I've got another big project that I'm doing at the moment, so I'm afraid the podcasts are a bit behind, but in due course it'll be on the Allegro website. We're talking to Jane and Kathy about their lives together, with Jane being transsexual. Kathy, now here comes the crunch. This is a really interesting question. You were married to a man who became a woman.
Yes.
Do you feel as though you're a lesbian now?
I'm having difficulty with that because I feel as if I'm heterosexual.
Yep.
But I don't want to lose Jane. I still want a relationship with Jane, but I don't know whether it'll ever be a sexual one.
Okay. In any case, the word lesbian is it's a label.
Yes.
And it's not something that you have to either conform to or not conform to. It's a one word to describe a human being, and it's far more complex than that, isn't it?
That is so right, yes. Peter. Sometimes I forget how smart you are.
I know.
The word lesbian is irrelevant. You're still Kathy, and you always will be Kathy, and you're married to Jane, no matter what Jane's gender is.
That's right.
Can I just say that the fact that you love and support Jane so much is a real inspiration, and for the people listening who may be considering this, this is a wonderful testament to the coping mechanisms and the ability of humans. If you want to see past the things you don't like or the things you have trouble with, you can if you try. Get young gay and lesbian people who are just coming out and are scared what's going to happen to them, yes, you have every right to be scared, but most people generally still will come to terms with things. Love wins out, doesn't it?
Yes, in many ways my life is easier now than it was when my husband was cross-dressing. Because in the cross-dressing phase, it all had to be kept secret, and it was something that you couldn't talk about.
Right.
And I had no one other than my family that I could talk to, and I'm very glad that I had my family that I could talk to about it, because it would have been very difficult if I'd had to keep it secret from them as well.
It's also a very difficult time to go through when somebody's transitioning. Now you are a female full time. Does that make it easier for you?
Yes, it does, because I don't have to keep anything secret again. One of the things that was most difficult for Jane when she was sort of both male and female was the moving back to, having to move back to male. And of course she became more depressed and unhappy because she had to move backwards.
Which made you depressed and unhappy, no doubt.
Yes, that's right. Of course, I'm unhappy now because of the children's reaction, but that's the only unhappiness.
Yeah.
At least now I know that Jane's happy and I'm happier because of that.
Can I just share with the listener one of the things I've got that I think I'm lucky. I've got really strong empathy. I know how people feel just by looking and being with them. You two are very much in love. You are both.
Yes.
You love each other. That comes across so clearly, and I can feel it in this room. I just wanted to acknowledge and say how lucky I think that you both are. And Jane, how lucky you are to have such a fantastic person like Kathy to
lucky.
Support you.
Very lucky.
Do many trans people have this level of support?
Not very many. In most cases, the families break up. And that, unfortunately, is all too common.
Did you ever think, Kathy, that you might run away, that you just can't cope with all of this? At any stage, did it become a huge issue in that you thought you might not be able to handle it?
No. I've always wanted to be with Jane, and so I was always prepared to go that extra mile for Jane.
Okay.
I am very sad about what's happening with the children, but that's the only sadness.
Mm-hmm. Do you did you have any trouble coming to terms with this because with anything to do with your background or religious beliefs or anything?
No.
You were able to get past all of this. It's a very interesting situation that you found yourselves in, and you've handled it really well. Now, Jane, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the future. Now, I'm not educated in the right terminology, and when we were discussing this on the phone the other day, I said to you, so are you transvestite, transsexual? Could you, we have that conversation again for the listener?
Yes, in Australia, and the terms do vary around the world, if a person is going through a sort of transition and is going to live their life as female, the normal term is transsexual. Transvestite is a much older term. It's still used overseas, especially in South America, and has but in Australia has more links to fetish feelings.
Okay.
And that sort of thing. The overarching term is transgender,
right.
Which basically encompasses everything.
Okay. And transsexual usually means people who are taking hormones and about to have an operation or have had an operation.
In very general terms, yes. There's basically sort of three parts, I suppose. You could be post-operative, you could be pre-operative, or some people don't have surgery.
Okay.
And there's a number of reasons for that.
Okay. So you're looking at perhaps going through the gender reassignment surgery,
yes,
Jane?
Yes.
How do you feel about this, Kathy, that Jane's going to have this operation?
I think that it's probably a fait accompli.
Okay.
In that she is Jane. And the operation is really not all that important. It just confirms that she is Jane.
Mm. But I do have great reservations about sort of going down that path because I'm worried that it's going to alter our relationship sort of further down the track.
Okay.
Because basically my body is still sort of part male.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just worried that sort of that later on, when the body's sort of totally female, how Kathy is going to feel about that. It is not something that you sort of jump into and say, yes, I'm going to do this, and this is the only way to go. There are a number of options. It is not necessary to have surgery. You can still live your life as a female. Having the surgery does give you sort of an affirmation about who you are, and now that everything is corrected, but. I also have a lot of feeling for Kath, and I don't want to lose the relationship that we have.
That's amazing. That is just incredible. Thank you for sharing that. Can I be your counsellor for a minute and give you some advice?
Yes.
From what you've told me about your relationship and yourself, that affirmation already exists. You know who you are. You don't need the operation. You're only doing the operation as sort of, it sounds like it's an after statement. The big change and the big thing that has occurred that you need for transition, I think you've already been through and you've addressed it and you resolved most of the issues. So do you have hormones as well?
Yes, I do, yes.
Okay. How do you feel?
I feel a lot happier. I feel a lot more relaxed. I've just completely lost the train of thought now.
That's all right. We're just talking about the hormone,
yes,
situation. Do you feel like a woman, Jane?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Those sort of questions are extremely difficult to answer.
Because how do you know if you feel like a woman or not?
Right.
Do I feel like a man frequently?
Yes.
Kathy, with this, if Jane goes ahead and has this operation, Jane's obviously concerned that it'll affect your relationship. Do you think it will?
No, I don't think so. It may affect our sexual relationship, but I don't think that really is a concern, because it's
you've married the person, you're married to Jane, and that's the important thing, I think.
That's right.
It's
it doesn't
love that
really
you
matter
share.
What happens in the bedroom. If nothing, it doesn't matter.
Oh, I think, yes, I understand that from my own relationship.
Going through all that you've both been to, but for you, Kathy, do you think that all the highs and lows of everything have made you a better person?
Yes, I think so. I think it probably has made me more understanding of difference. I've learned a lot about people who are different. It's been great being involved with Joy, because I've met a lot more people. There's a lot more people, different people that I will have met through Jane having transitioned than I would have met otherwise. It's opened my life up a lot, I think.
I wanted to ask you one question now. We're coming towards the end of the interview, and to sort of like my last question, there's two things I want to ask you. First, all this that's happened to you, the consequences, all of the good and the bad things, would you have, if you knew this was going to happen before you met Jane, would you have still got married?
That's a difficult question, because before I met Jane, I didn't know her as a person.
Okay.
And I married a person whom I loved, and we've only grown closer together. Now, had I known about this beforehand, I don't know, because if I'd thought, well, you have children and you might lose your children, and you might lose all your friends because these are unknowns.
Yeah.
At that stage, I wasn't as in love as with Jane as I am now. So
okay.
That... I don't know how to answer that question.
I think you've highlighted a point, though, that you can't live your life worrying about what other people are going to think.
Yes.
Yeah. Jane, as I'm not sure how old you are, but
I'm not going to tell you.
You're older than me. I think you're over 60. But could you please give a little bit of advice, a pep talk, or some words of encouragement and understanding to the people in the community who may be facing some of the issues that you've faced?
I think probably one of the main things is you have to be true to yourself.
Right.
But you've also got to take into consideration those around you, places you go. You have to live and, in my case, live and think as a woman would, and act appropriately. There's a lot of those sort of things that go on in the background, but a lot about it is you have to be true to yourself, and as a friend of mine said, you know you're ready to transition when you're prepared to give up everything.
And the other thing that we need to mention, it's part of our mission here at Joy 94.9, Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station on the Community Radio Network. The most important message we can give all of the people out there, you're not alone. That isolation doesn't need to exist. If you need more information, please go to the Joy website, joy.org.au, or the Allegro website, allegro.org.au, and you'll find more information. Jane and Kathy, it has been an absolute privilege to have you on Allegro Non Troppo. Thank you so much for sharing your stories with us. It's been a real inspiration. This is Allegro Non Troppo with Adam and Peter. We'll be back again next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Allegro Non Troppo. If you'd like more information, you can go to the Allegro website, allegro.org.au. That's allegro.org.au for information and podcasts.